Well, good evening, everyone. It is really such a privilege and a pleasure to be back home. Shirley and I have been beating the highways, but we're thankful for your prayers for us. The Lord has certainly been gracious to us and lifted us up. What I'd like to talk with you about tonight is about something that I trust will comfort your heart and mine. Would you join me in the Gospel of Luke? Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And we'll start our reading at verse 31. I'd like to draw your attention to this portion of Scripture. It's a small part of a larger narrative that we find. To give you a little background, the Lord Jesus Christ has set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to die. He has told his disciples on various occasions that he was going to Jerusalem to die. But many of them didn't understand. They didn't accept it. Because if he was indeed the Messiah, their interpretation would be that the Messiah would move on in victory after victory. They did not understand that his victory would come through death. So let us start reading Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took them unto himself, the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, neither did they know of the things that were spoken. And it came to pass that as they came nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way side begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. As we take a look at this story, we see first of all that it occurred in and around the city of Jericho. You might remember that in the book of Joshua, Jericho was the first obstacle in the path of the children of Israel. When they crossed the Jordan, there was Jericho 5 miles away. And they needed to take that city if they were going to have their hind parts saved as they went into the country. Jericho was that first obstacle. Now, Jericho was a city set aside for destruction. Jericho was a cesspool, as it were, of sin and debauchery, human sacrifice. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6, cursed Jericho as it was destroyed by the power of God. Joshua said, cursed is the man who would rebuild it. So what we see as it parallels our life, because I think that This man who is described in Mark as being named Bartimaeus, that he represents all of us in a sense. What we find in the city of Jericho was a cursed city. What we find in this earth is a cursed earth, an earth that has been cursed because of sin. And so what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to a cursed city, but he's coming to bring grace and mercy. He's on his way to be killed. He stated that very clearly in the beginning. He took his 12 aside and told them. But as he was moving along, and incidentally, he's moving along with a crowd of people. Now, we know that the Passover was near. And so there would have been a lot of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. So Jesus and the men and women that were part of his group, as it were only part of the larger group that were moving toward Jerusalem. But this man, and we'll call him Bartimaeus, he heard this noise. So there was not only the noise of all the other pilgrims moving along, but there was something different and special about this. We know that when the Lord Jesus finally got to Jerusalem, there were cries of Hosanna, the Son of David, and so forth. It might have been similar to that. There might have been a larger crowd right around the Lord Jesus, not just a string of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. So the scripture tells us that this man heard the noise, the din, and he wanted to know what was going on. Well, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Now, I don't know for certain, but it seems as though Bartimaeus might have had some previous knowledge of who the Son of God was, in the sense that he knew the Son of David was going to be the Messiah. So he calls out. So the first thing we notice is the condition of Bartimaeus. The scriptures tells us that he was blind. The scriptures also tells us that he was a beggar. And is that not our situation in this sin-cursed world? Apart from the grace of God, we are blind. Apart from the grace of God, we are beggars. And so we find ourselves in a similar situation as Bartimaeus. Blind and begging in a hostile world, a cursed world. So we see the condition of this man. I find it interesting that his name is called Bartimaeus, meaning son of Timaeus. It is almost as though the man has no name. You remember in the scriptures that Simon is called Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon the son of Jonas. This man is called the son of Timaeus. No name of his own, as it were. The fact that he's called Bartimaeus gives me the indication that perhaps his father was of note. But this man was a beggar. This man had no resources other than the alms that were given to him. So we see his condition as a beggar, perhaps without pedigree, as it were. No one seemed to care. But as he called for the Lord Jesus, as he passed by, and he would say to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There's that first name, Jesus. It's an indication that perhaps the Spirit of God might have foretold him the significance of the name Jesus. We know the name of Jesus as Jehovah Saves. Even in the book of Matthew, we read that you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And a man cries out, "Jesus, Son of David." He's saying, "Jesus, Savior, the Messiah, have mercy on me." But of course, the people around him, you see the opposition. They're telling him basically, "Be quiet. You are not important enough to speak to the Lord Jesus." There might be some in our lives that have tried to stop us from our search for the Lord Jesus. Those of us that are savingly joined to the Lord Jesus, might have had to fight through opposition. But what does it say? What does the scripture say about this man? In verse 39, he cried so much the more. It was imperative to him that he reach Jesus. It wasn't good enough for him to just be quiet because someone said so. And so he cried out again, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now here's what happens to everyone who calls out to the Lord Jesus and says, "Have mercy on me." What's the next that we read? Jesus stood. The procession stopped for the cry of this one man. Everything stopped. And the Lord Jesus looked at him. Now, Matthew tells us that the Lord had compassion on him. That was the reason for him stopping. As he moved on, as we had mentioned before, steadfastly to Jerusalem, we find that he stopped to tend to this man. He asked this man the pointed question, "What do you want me to do for you that I might have my sight?" Now, sight can be two things. It can be physical sight, and it can also be spiritual insight. Now, we need both, but we need spiritual insight really more than we need physical sight. He wants to receive his sight. Immediately, he receives his sight. As I said, Matthew says that not only did the Lord Jesus have compassion on him, but the Lord Jesus Christ touched his eyes. Maybe that was the method in which he brought sight to this man. How did the Lord Jesus Christ bring sight to you? What happened to you that you were blind, you were a beggar, you were without pedigree, and yet the Lord stood and stopped for you and touched you and gave spiritual insight to you? That's the most important thing that can happen in the life of anyone. But what does that mean to us who have already come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? The Bible tells us very clear that we are to call upon Him when He is near. I suggest to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is near now. Every single one of us, He is near. We cry out, "Lord, have mercy on us," because we all have needs. We should cry out all the time. I like the scripture that says that we are to come boldly to receive help in times of need. What time is there that we have no need? We have needs all the time. Now, when the Lord Jesus asked this man, "What would you have me to do for you?" If we were to reverse that, what does the Lord Jesus Christ require of us? We know Him. We know He is mighty to save. That has happened. What do we do now that He has saved us? Perhaps He wishes for us to live a better life, a more involved life, a life of intercessory prayer for others. I hope you heard the message Sunday night. What a challenge. Not to say prayers, but to do intercessory prayers, fervent prayers for one another. I was thinking just the other day, do you know that believers have no place else to go except the Lord and each other? We should not go to the world for explanations, for solutions to our difficulties or problems. That is, I don't mean we don't use the facilities that are here in this world. But when we're looking for the truth of a matter, that is only found by the Spirit. The Scripture tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. They are spiritually discerned. And so what do we want from the Lord? When we cry out, Son of, well, actually right now we would call him our Savior, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we call him Jesus, our Savior? When we call out to him, what do we want him to do for us? That we might have our sight. That we might have spiritual insight with the things that are going on in this world. The things that are going on in our lives and the lives of others around us. We want to know how to pray properly. What to do so that our lives will be a monument of what the Lord Jesus Christ can do in the life of a beggar. A poor, blind beggar. And that really would give you an idea of what we all are. Save for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would all be poor, blind beggars. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Father, again, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus and all that he does in our lives and all of the promises that he has made to us. Help us, Father, while we can work, while the day is here, while we can work, to work for his honor, for his glory, so that we might hear, finally, well done, my good and faithful servant. Help us, Father, to live this out every day of our lives, for it is in his name that we give thee thanks. Amen.